This morning I preach on the subject, quicken together with Christ. As you read the New Testament, you find record that on three different occasions, Jesus raised people from the dead. First of all, he raised the widow of Nain's son. It's recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, where the Bible says, "And he, Jesus, came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak." And so he raised this widow's son, this widow of Nain. He raised a young girl, Jairus' daughter. This story is recorded in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the Bible says, "And he took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway." And then you know the third person that Jesus raised from the dead, only recorded in the book of John. A dear friend of Christ, Lazarus, whose sister was Mary and Martha, and I read from John chapter 11, "And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was dead came forth." And so all three of these people, Jesus called back to life, and I want to look at three things that were true about all three of them, and again, preach a sermon I've entitled, "Quicken Together with Christ." That word quicken means made alive. So made alive together with Christ. And so three things about all three of these accounts. First of all, I would point out to you that all three of these people were dead. All three of them. You go back and you read from the book of Luke. "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. When he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out." Again, in the book of Luke, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." And then reading again from John, "Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." So, the widow's son was dead. Jairus' daughter was dead. Lazarus was dead. They were all dead. None of them had life anymore. No longer did their heart beat. No longer did their lungs draw in air. No longer did their brain function. Their brain was dead. They were all dead. And the Bible uses physical death to paint a picture of how we live before we get saved. We are dead spiritually in our sins before we come to Jesus Christ. We read in verse 1 of chapter 2, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." And then in verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins," and apart from Christ, before we get saved, we are dead in our sins. And again, physical death paints a pretty good picture of what it is like to be dead in our sins. So let me illustrate. And I need three people to help me. So Bob, would you come? And Todd, would you come? And Roy, since you're sitting right here, you come. All right? You three guys come right here and stand in a straight line, just like here. So I want to illustrate what it means to be dead spiritually. And again, I'll use dead physically to illustrate it. So in the garden of, in the beginning, God created man. And the Bible says that he created us in his image. God is a three-part God. God the Father. Here, let's switch you two places. We're getting, all right, this is better. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All God. Three different personalities, three different functions. I mean, when you look at God, now line up behind each other. Roy, you come over here. When you look at God, you only see one, but we know the doctrine of the Trinity, the idea of the Trinity is it's three in one. Some people have a hard time understanding how you can have three in one. And I always tell them, think about an egg. An egg is an egg. But an egg has a shell, an egg has a yolk, an egg has a white. Three different parts of the egg that people use for different things. People don't use the shell very much. but they use the yolk and the white for different things. And so God, one, but three parts, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, okay, now I'll line up side by side again. So when God made us, he made us a three-part being. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. The body is what we see when we look at each other. I can't see your souls. I can't see your spirit. Bible says my spirit communes with your spirit, but I can't see your spirit. I can't see your soul. I can see your body. Okay? The soul is that part of us that will never die, that will live forever. Never die. And then the spirit is that part of us that God created to commune with him. My spirit communes with God. My spirit communicates with God. And again, I mentioned already, our spirits commune with each other. We're instructed to test the spirits. We commune, our spirits commune with each other. If I'm talking to somebody that's not saved, my spirit won't commune with their spirit because it's a different spirit. Now, when a person dies physically, what happens? Their body is separated. Come over this way, Bob. Their body is separated from their soul. That's what happens when a person dies physically. I said spiritually, but when a person dies physically, their body is separated from their soul. Their soul keeps living. Their body is dead, but their soul is still alive. Okay, get back over there with your soul and your spirit. Now, when a person is dead in their sins, here's what's going on. Their spirit, that part of them that was made to commune with God, is separated from their soul. And so they are dead in their sins. Just like a person is physically dead when their body is separated from their soul, so a person is spiritually dead when their soul is separated from their spirit. Okay? All right, so you guys go sit down. Roy, I'll use you again in just a second. Okay, you can go ahead and sit down though. All right. All right, let me catch up in my notes here. Okay, so again, our spirit is that part of us that was made by God to communicate or commune with him. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When my spirit is separated from my soul, I can't fellowship with God. My sin separates me from my spirit from my soul, and so again, I can't commune with him. In Ephesians 18:4, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And so again, we're dead in our sins. Our spirit is separated from our soul. We are separated from God. We can't commune with God. Okay, Roy, come back. Now, I want you to lay down and play dead, okay? Now look, when a person's dead, it's different than them being alive. Amen?
Amen.
This deep preaching, isn't it? When a person is dead, don't go to sleep. When a person is dead, it's different than them being alive. I mean, when you're alive, your body has needs. You need oxygen to breathe. You need food to eat. You need water to drink. In this condition, your body don't need nothing. It's dead. It needs no oxygen. It needs no food. It needs no water. The things that used to be important to us when we are alive don't make any difference to us when we are dead. Roy has kids. They're important to him when he's alive. But when he's dead, his kids won't be important to him anymore. When he's alive, it's important to him to take care of his family, to take care of Jennifer and the kids. But when he's dead, that won't be important to him anymore. He's dead. And when a person's alive, they respond to certain stimulus. I mean, when Roy's alive, I can come and he might jump, but he's dead. It don't make any difference. He's dead. Now, the same thing happens when we die spiritually. You see, when we're alive, we need communion with God. We cannot live without a relationship with him. But when we're dead in our sins, it doesn't make any difference. The gospel is foolishness, the Bible says, to them that don't know Christ. The things of the Spirit don't make any sense to a person that's dead in their sins. A person that's dead in their sins has no need to be part of a church. Missed a good Sunday school lesson, if I do say so myself, about our role in the church and why it's a privilege to be part of a church. But a person that's dead in their sins, they have no need for that fellowship. They're not going to grow any in Christ. They are dead in their sins. And the gospel, dead in their sins, if they hear they need the gospel, but unless Jesus Christ woos them to, unless the Holy Spirit woos them to Christ, unless the Holy Spirit brings them to Christ, they are dead to the appeals of the gospel. And so just like a dead person has no more needs, nothing's important to him, doesn't respond to the stimulus of life, so a person that's dead in their sins, same thing. Same thing. Okay, Roy, wake up, go back and sit down. Thank you. So all three of these people were dead. Number two, I would point out to you, they were all decaying. 12-year-old girl in Luke chapter 8 maybe had been dead for only a few minutes when Jesus had got there. The young man, the widow of Nain, he had probably been dead for a couple of hours. They were carrying him to his grave to bury him. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Remember Martha said, no, don't roll the stone. He's been dead for 4 days. He probably stinks by now. They were all dead, but they were in various states of decay. The little girl probably hadn't decayed at all. She hadn't been dead long enough. The young man who'd been dead only a couple hours had just started the process of decay. And Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, had already probably did stink because he had been dead for those 4 days. The same is true in a spiritual application. Some of you that have rejected Christ all your life and are up in years, you're a stinking sinner this morning. Don't tell me you don't have a preacher that just don't put it the way it is, man. If you're here and you've lived your whole life apart from Christ, you're a sinner who has gone through your whole life apart from God, and you stink this morning because you have been decaying ever since that first moment in your life you realized there was a right and a wrong, and you choose to do wrong. Your sin nature became a sin at that point. And then you heard the gospel and you rejected the gospel. You said no and no and no to Jesus Christ. Well, you're a sinner headed for hell and you stink this morning. Now, there may be somebody here that is not as old as you are. They're still a sinner, but they haven't gone as far as you have into sin. I mean, they may live a pretty good life and they may try to do good things. They're still lost. They're still on their way to hell. They're still dead in their sins, but they haven't been there as long as some of the other folks have. And then there's probably, and maybe they're not in here, but maybe back in the back, there's some little children. They've just realized what it is to be a sinner. They're just beginning to understand that there is a difference between right and wrong, and they have a choice to make. And if they choose wrong, their sin nature again makes them, it turns into being a sinner. But the fact is, they are all dead. They are all headed to hell. It doesn't matter how old a sinner you are. If you die in your sins, you're going the same place. People may say, well, how is it fair for God to spend a little child that just realized that they were a sinner, maybe rejected Christ only a couple times? How can God send that little child to the same place that he would send an 80-year-old person that has rejected Christ over and over, that has lived their whole life in sin? How can God send them to the same place? Well, God can send them to the same place because they rejected the same Christ. You don't go to hell because of your sins. You go to hell because you've rejected Christ. Think about that. You don't go to hell because of your sins. You go to hell because you rejected Christ. And this old person that has sinned all their life deserves the same hell that this little child does that just realized they were a sinner and they rejected Christ once or two times. All three of them are dead. And then number three, and this is a good part. Couldn't wait till we got to this part. All three of them were raised and given life. We read the verses a moment ago. Jesus said to the widow's son, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise," and he that was dead sat up. Jesus walked into that room where the little girl was laying. He walked in with Peter, James, and John and her parents. He wouldn't let anybody else go in with them. And he said, "Maid, arise." And she arose straightway. He went to that cemetery. He went with those two grieving sisters. He went with a lot of other people. He went with his disciples. He stood before that tomb. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. What was it in all three cases that restored life? It wasn't medicine. It wasn't the efforts of a human doctor. It wasn't the tears and sorrow that other people expressed. It wasn't even the prayers of a mom and dad that stood by that one that had departed and prayed over them. The one that restored life was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And it was only him that could give life to these three people that had died. And it is only him that can give life to us that are dead in our sins. It's not the church. It's not baptism. It's not the Lord's Supper. It's not religion. It's not belonging to a Christian family. The only person that can give life to a person that's dead in their sin is the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So only he can give life. Now quickly, I want you to notice a couple other things. These are just extra. They're not points. They're just extra. And Brother Clyde sang, and Frieda and Debbie sang about one. These three dead people, the widow's son, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus, they didn't come to Jesus. They didn't come to Jesus. Jesus came to them. He walked into Nain and saw that funeral procession and stopped. He went to Jairus' house to see his little girl. He went to Bethany where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived and went to the cemetery. These dead people didn't come to him. He came to them. He came to where they were. He came to where their bodies lied. He came to where they needed him to restore life. Like Brother Clyde said a moment ago, when we're lost, when we're dead in our sins, we don't go looking for God. We're dead. We don't even know that we need God. We're dead. But the Holy Spirit begins to work in our life and convict us of our sin. And show us that there's a penalty for sin, and there's only one that can help us, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he shows up. He comes to where we are. He makes available to every person salvation. If you're here today and you're dead in your sins, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's knocking on your heart's door this morning. He's whispering to you in that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, "You're a sinner. The person the preacher talking about is a stinky old sinner, is you. You need Jesus this morning." And Jesus shows up. Amen. And he says, "I'll save you if you let me. If you let me, I'll give you a home in heaven. If you let me, I'll forgive all your sins, wash them all away, and make you right with God." They didn't go looking for Jesus. He came to where they were. Second thing I want you to notice, how they were all raised. They were raised by his word. "Young man, set up. Young maid, arise. Lazarus, come forth." All at his word. How are we saved today? "For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." We hear in the Word of God that we're sinners. We hear in the Word of God there's a penalty for that sin. We hear in the Word of God that Jesus paid the price. We hear in the Word of God that if we ask him, he'll save us. We're saved through his Word. Let me ask you this morning, you that are here that have never received Christ as your Savior, Would you hear him this morning? He says the same thing to you that he said to these three dead people. Young man, set up. Young lady, get up. He calls your name. He called Lazarus' name. I've always heard he had to call Lazarus, or every dead body in that cemetery would have come out of the grave. Jesus would have stood there and said, come forth. All the graves would be emptied. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And he calls your name this morning. He calls your name in that loud voice where you unmistakably know that it's Jesus calling, saying, come forth. You need to get saved. You need to come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Would you come? Do you want life? You can't get it any other way. No other person. Nobody else can help you. Just Jesus, because he is the life. Would you come? I beg you to come. I tell you, it's the best decision that you'll ever make. Best decision you'll ever make, to come to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. Thank you that we know that you are the only one that gives life. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, Holy Spirit, please convict them of their sin. Please show them that Jesus is the only way. Please, please woo them to the Savior this morning. Give them what they need to make that decision to come to Jesus Christ. I pray for Christians that are here. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you did when you saved us. I pray that as we've been reminded that we were dead in sins and now have life, that we would vow to serve you more, serve you better, be everything you want us to be, to reach out to others and share the gospel that you so freely gave to all men. I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Again, speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit leads. Help us to respond. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.